just want to take this opportunity to come and just look at your word for a moment. And we know your word is spirit and it's truth. It's powerful. It's life-giving. And so we expect, Lord God, this morning to be revived, to be equipped and to be empowered. Because your word is powerful. Because your word is living. That it does have an effect. And so, Father, we just take it for what it is. It's your word. And we receive it by faith today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, are you glad you've got a week without a bank holiday in it this week? Giving us a bit of a break for a couple of weeks without bank holidays. I want to just... 2 weeks ago, I started talking a little bit about the fruit of the Spirit because I think, you know, sometimes things which seem just so simple and so straightforward, we don't always just fully embrace. And I started talking about it a couple of weeks ago. Last week was worship and communion. I just want to come back to it this week and just bring a few thoughts from it. From Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19, where it starts. And there's this comparison between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And we talked about, you know, where this comes from a couple of weeks ago. And then in verse 19 it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are... Remember, these works, there's a whole load of things in here. There's other things, I guess, as well. And other things that come out, that knock off of these and these particular things we look at here. But they're evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. You know, if there's not enough in that list... He just winds up and the like, and anything else that's sort of like that, all this stuff that is just, you know, it's all a load of things that are going on there that you say, well, of course, there's nobody in here that would ever contemplate anything that's there. But there's this, all this stuff which is negative, which is outside of who we are as believers, which I guess we've turned away from or are turning away from and dealing with stuff. How many, when you look at that list, there's stuff in there, you think, well, I had to deal with that. There's things that we can maybe relate to in part or in whole, but there are things that are individuals. They're not all coming together. They are individual things there. And then he goes on, and then there's this change that takes place when we become born again, when we give our life to Jesus. Anybody here this morning who's born again? That's three of you. The rest of you we'll pray for later. But, you know, the things changed. When our position changed and we started living differently, the Holy Spirit convicts us of things in our lives which are outside of the will of God. And so we start changing. And some of those things we change immediately. Other of those things we change gradually. Other of those things we have to work at. You know, positionally we get born again, but experientially we're still having to work through some stuff. Hello? Anybody still working through some stuff? I'm not talking to all the perfect people here this morning, but if you're still working through some stuff, you know, you're part of the body of Christ. You're part of a bunch of people who are working through stuff. I bet you're sitting next to somebody this morning who's still working through something. If they're honest, you know, not all the time. We're not always honest, are we? Something changed. And then so then we get into Galatians chapter 5, and it says, but the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit. Just this singular fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and with its desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And so he's saying there, you know, there's this change has taken place. You know, we were of this world, now we're of Christ. We've been born again of the Spirit of God. And so we're living from this place where there will be fruit of the work of the Spirit in our life. And that fruit is Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It says, against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh. We've crucified that old life. And in crucifying that old life, we're able to work on these things that were holding us and that were keeping us. So we're working through these things because now we're in Christ. We have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. So then if we live in the Spirit, how many of you live in the Spirit? Amen. That's good. You know, we are spiritual. We our position changed. We are living in the Spirit. So then if we live in the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit. And that's sometimes where we can need a little bit of an adjustment, because sometimes when you look at in your rear view mirror of your life, you say, well, I'm not always walking in the Spirit then. I wasn't walking like I was born again, if you like. And sometimes we don't always walk as if we're walking, as if we're living in the Spirit. You know, many times you'll have people around you. You maybe have a work colleague or someone who you've been working with for a while, and then you realize that they're a Christian. But when you look at the life and some of the things, the way they've been walking out their life, you maybe sort of question. Did you ever have that sort of experience? And you sort of you either step back and think, well, I never knew you could live that bad and still be saved. and relax a little bit in your walk and say, well, okay, I'm not so bad after all. Or you're sort of shocked. You're shocked and think, man, that just ain't right. You know, when I went from being in a more traditional church to going to a less traditional church, I was surprised at the things you could do and still call yourself a Christian. You hear what I'm saying? Because I got around a bunch of people who were in church and saved and great people, but some of the things they were doing, I'd been raised in, well, you can't do that because you're a Christian. You can't live like that. You can't go there. You can't drink this. You can't drink that. You can't be this. You can't be that. I got liberated. And then I had to sort of step back and think, no, hang on. What does the Word say? What does the Word say? It's for freedom I've been set free. Not for license. It's for freedom. And there's a difference between freedom and license, isn't there? So Paul is writing this to Christians. He's writing it to a local church. And he's reminding them who they are. And he's reminding them of whose they are. See, don't ever forget that you're born again. You're spirit-filled. You're a child of God. But in being a child of God, you need to remember whose you are. Who are you representing? So he was talking to people and reminding them of who they were, or who they are, and he's reminding them of whose they are, and he's reminding them of where they have come from and how they used to live their life. And he's reminding them that now they're spiritual. Remind them they're born again of the Spirit of God. And if you're going to live in the Spirit, you need to demonstrate that by walking in the Spirit. You know, I really believe in these days the church needs a good shake-up and a reminding of who we really are. You know, a good shaking. And sometimes when things get shaken, some stuff gets sifted out. And I believe maybe the church needs to, every few years, go through the church, the body of Christ, needs to go through a good shaking. Because sometimes we can get set in things and set with thought patterns. Sometimes it needs, we just shake up who we are. And in this passage, we see he's contrasting the works of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. See, the fruit doesn't just come the moment we get saved. You know, the moment you get saved and you walk out of that, wherever you got saved, and new creation, born again, you're not always immediately demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit. You know, it is possible. It is possible. I know people who've been totally transformed from things like addictions instantly. Instantly. Thank God for that. But much of the time, you have to apply some self. apply some will. Because when you got saved, God didn't remove your free will. He left you with choices. So fruit doesn't just come when we get saved. Yes, the Holy Spirit indwells in us, but fruit needs to be cultivated. Hear what I'm saying? When you grow vegetables, when you grow something that produces fruit, it has to be cultivated to produce that. You know, you can maybe fake the fruit for a while, but lasting, reproducing, testimony-producing fruit comes from abiding. Comes from hanging in there and abiding and abiding. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you'll bear much fruit that not just is there for one day, but it will remain. It talks about the vine and the branches and hanging in there. You know, it's nothing, you know, there's no separation between the fruit and the branches, the trunk of the tree and the branch and then the fruit. There has to be a connection. When you cut it off, it's done, it's going to die and it's not going to produce any fruit. And so the fruit, I believe, of the Spirit is the same. It's the fruit of you being led by the Spirit and living, allowing the Spirit to lead your life. You know, sometimes we don't spend enough time allowing the Holy Spirit to lead our life. It's like allowing the word to speak to you, having it, you know, talking to you, if you like, on your Bible app that tells you, that you can just have it coming at you. You know, we have all sorts of other things we listen to and we watch and we scroll through and we watch this and we watch that and we find that and it leads to this and it leads to that and it goes somewhere else. And we don't, and that just, it gets into us, doesn't it? Hello? You know, what we watch on the TV or what we watch on our screens gets into us. It gets into us. And so too with the Word of God. And if there's more of that other stuff coming at us, you know, we're being bombarded continually with items and reports and media that wants to fill us. But the Word of God, you know, needs to be abiding in us. And allowing the word to, allowing him to lead us in our life. And this fruit of the Spirit is not spooky or only available to the spiritually minded. Or those seemingly spiritual people. You know, sometimes some people can come across very spiritual. Have you ever come across people like that? Yeah, remember, you know, coming across people in over the years who've appeared to be so spiritual, and yet something takes place, and you look at it. Well, bottom line, you know, bottom line, there's not much fruit. When everything gets shaken, you know, it's not difficult to appear spiritual. Just need to know a few words and speak with a certain type of voice. And you can come across very spiritual. But bottom line, is there any fruit? And so it's important that we're a people who cultivate the fruit. We look at it and we take note of the Word of God, and we allow fruit to cultivate and grow in us. See, if you get saved and never purposefully connect with a local church and get involved, now serve and commit to cultivating and growing in your spiritual life, you'll experience very little spiritual fruit. You may produce some fruits, but if you're not connected, it's gonna drop pretty close to home. But spiritual fruit, I believe, is there to benefit people. To benefit. All God is doing in you, I believe, all God is doing through you is not just for you, but it's to benefit others. You getting born again, you know, will do more than just something in you. It should benefit others. See, you're producing fruit to be experienced by the people that catch your fragrance. Now, people, I believe, should see something of the fruit of the Spirit in your life, or the fragrance of the fragrance of the Spirit as you go by them. That fragrance, you know, it's the fragrance of the presence of God in our lives, which I believe is attractive. No, it doesn't smell, but it is something about it. That when you get around certain people, there's something on their life that is life-changing, that's life-giving. It's like a fragrance that has an effect on you. As a Spirit of God, they're not just living in the Spirit, but they're walking in the Spirit. So as you walk by somebody, you know, they get a touch, they get a sense of something. I'm not talking about anything sort of spooky or weird or anything like that. Sometimes it can be. Sometimes it can be. I don't like using the word really spooky, but something you say, there's something about that person, something about you. When I'm hanging around you, when I'm with you, I get something which fills me with such confidence and gives me such hope. See, some fragrances repel and others attract, don't they? Some repel and others attract. Now, you can be walking down a high street in some city somewhere, pretty much anywhere in the world. And you get that sniff. And you think, man, alive, that makes me feel like home. I need to cross the street because that fragrance comes from where I live. Or you can just something, you know, a beautiful perfume, you get attracted to it. And is drawn to it. No, you're hungry. And you walk back, you walk past in a back street somewhere, and you suddenly realize you're behind the air duct of McDonald's. And you, And it's that attraction. It draws you, doesn't it? That, I believe, is what we as believers should carry as we are displaying the fruit of the Spirit. See, for a good part of the last 2 years, we've been encouraged to live isolated and distance ourselves from other people. You know, who are not like us or not in my bubble or whatever. You know, we've been discouraged from doing that, and many times we've been told we can't do that. But that isn't Bible, is it? That's not Bible. You know, people have been denied the benefit of the fruit of your life. Or the fruit of the Spirit of your life. And we're designed to connect with people. We're designed to get around people. And for people to be able to catch the fragrance of the Spirit of God in our life. Because that brings life. It brings life to others. And, you know, we're not designed to just live isolated. But we're designed to allow that as we walk in the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is evident on our life and is a benefit to people around us. You know, you imagine when you're, if you're walking in the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit is on your life, and you're standing at the school gate with somebody you don't know, but is hurting with great pain because of something which is going on in their life right now, and they are able to sense something on you, you just open your mouth, and just one word can change a situation. Why? Because you're walking in the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is on your life and is there for that person in the checkout queue. Who feels like they're going through hell. But you're the next person. Some of us are reluctant to open our mouth and allow what Christ has put in us. And you say, well, I haven't got the words to say. Open your mouth and say something which demonstrates the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And I guarantee it'll open a door. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? Do you hear what I'm saying? Yeah, we need to be a people who are allowing the fruit of the Spirit to benefit those, not just me, but, you know, because I'm spiritual, but those who are around us. We're created for community to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. See, the fruit of the Spirit is not like your natural character or traits, that you can have one without the other. The fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of your life in Christ. Your life walking and living in the Spirit. Now, Paul used the plural describing the life after the flesh, didn't he? The works of the flesh. But he uses the singular fruit, not fruits of the Spirit. For this bigger picture, the Spirit has one work to do in all of us. These aren't the gifts of the Spirit. This is the fruit of the Spirit. You know, if you came to Masterclass the other Wednesday night with Andy Elms, you hear him talking about the gifts of the Spirit there. But this is fruit of the Spirit. It's significant that the word fruit is singular. Paul is not speaking of a series of fruits that would be shared around us. So, well, you've got this one and you've got that one, so together we're okay. And sometimes we can kid ourselves that, you know, well, I'm not that sort of person. I've got a lot of love, but, you know, I'm as miserable as anything. I'm just a miserable individual. My father-in-law would have put something else on the end of miserable when he talked about somebody, but that's not a word you'd use in church. He didn't demonstrate a huge amount of the fruit of the Spirit in his life. You know, I'm faithful, but I have no patience whatsoever. See, you can't just sing, you can't just bring them out and have one and say, I'll have a bit of this and a bit of that. Well, if I'm this, you know, that's okay because I'm this sort of person, my wife is someone else, so together we're fine. No, you may be one in one sense, but you're not one in this sense. Now, if I have an opinion about something, I'm going to be miserable about that. But if I've got an opinion about this, I'm going to be this about that. So, you know, it's not for chopping and changing, mix and match. So it's singular. Fruit, Paul is not speaking of a series of fruits that would be shared around so that one believer has one and another has another. He's referring to this cluster. So it's all the qualities are manifest in you and in me. Isn't that powerful? You imagine a body of God's people, a local church that is demonstrating every bit of this, every person is demonstrating everything. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I'll tell you, I believe people will be flocking to get around you. They'd be flocking to get around. They'd want to be in your place and catch the fragrance of who you were. You know, what in the world are you on? Because I want those pills. People will pay huge amounts of money to get pills that are going to do something for them. I was watching a program the other night, and it was a Christian doctor talking about some sort of medication or whatever it was, potion maybe it was. But Suzanne looked on, I wonder how much they cost. And man, I've nearly fell off my seat. The cost of this. But this love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You imagine there's something for somebody who's hurting to pick. I want something of that. I want to just take something of that. I'd tell you, you don't have to go very far to find people in your world, around your place, who need the fruit of the Spirit manifest to them from you into their life. And it will be a testimony. See, fruit is like testimony. I look at the time, and I look at how far I've got to go. And I'm thinking about cake. Just kidding. Let me just bring this list. You know what they are. You know, you're Christians. You're born again. You've read Galatians chapter 5, and you have your own opinions of it and what it all means. But let me just go through. Love. He doesn't put these in any particular order or any particular prominence, but does start with love. And you know, Paul puts a great emphasis on love, doesn't he? Christ puts a great emphasis on love. God put a great emphasis on love because of his love for us, he sent his son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. And so Paul, if you like, puts it here first, and not for that reason particularly, but, you know, 1 Corinthians 13 talks a lot about love. You may have heard it if you've been to a wedding, you know, not always Christian weddings. If it's not a Christian wedding, they think, what else? What can we bring out to read at a Christian? We're not Christians, but we're in a church, so what can we bring out? So we pull out 1 Corinthians 13. Love suffers long and is kind. Love doesn't envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will fail. Wherever there's tongues, that will cease. Wherever there's knowledge, it will vanish away. But the greatest of these is love. There's a lot of other stuff. We try and, you know, get involved in, well, I'm very this or I'm very that. I have this gift and I've got that gift. But if there's no love, what does he say? You're just a clanging bell, cymbal, drum out of beat, out of tune, or whatever, just a load of noise, just a load of hot air. Where there's love. See, love just, Christ, God demonstrated his love. And we need to be people who demonstrate love towards people. You know, you bump into people all the time. They need the love of Christ. You don't know what they're facing. You don't know what people are facing, but just demonstrate love. You know, joy. Love, joy. So if you are spiritual, you will display joy. You may not always feel like it in some ways, but if you're spiritual, you will display joy. You'll be able to dig somewhere. You'll be able to find something. You know, you see, not every Christian is fun to be around, are they? And you may go through seasons of pain, seasons of hardship, but I tell you, when you look to Jesus, you can regain some joy. For the joy that was set before him, He endured the cross. He despised the shame. I'll tell you, if we're spiritual, we will display joy, peace, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. See, God is a God of peace. And everything which God is able to display, you know, we are able to receive and able to live. And we can live and we can live in peace. We can be peace. We can be people who display peace. You know, we need to be able to be a people who when we get around people who are facing all sorts of challenges, all sorts of things in their lives, you know, and have a conversation with you. They should be able to say, I sense a peace, I feel a peace. Long suffering. Paul covers all these things when he's writing to churches, whether it be the Ephesians, the Colossians. He covers all these things. Long suffering. Colossians 3 and verse 12 through 13 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long suffering. Sometimes, you know, you get around people who long suffering is quite a hard thing. It's quite a challenge. Could just be in a conversation that just goes on a little bit over time. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So it's forgiving, but long suffering. You know, we should be able to be a people who can demonstrate long suffering. Kindness. You ever come across a situation where you had a response and you think back and think, well, that wasn't very kind. But you know, that comes from living in the Spirit. It comes from living in the Word of God and allowing it to direct your path. Kindness. When Paul talks about the grieving of the Holy Spirit, we haven't got time to read it all there in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32, says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You know, he was kind. God demonstrates his kindness towards us. He demonstrates towards his kindness, and if we can't demonstrate kindness, you know, we're just a lot of hot air. God demonstrates goodness to us. And if God can demonstrate goodness to us, we need to be a people who demonstrate goodness to those around us. I'll tell you, sometimes you'll find more people who aren't born again manifesting more of what we call the fruit of the Spirit in their life. Because there are a lot of people who are quite nice. There are quite a lot of people who are good. There are quite a lot of people outside of the kingdom of God who are faithful. Just because you're born again in the Spirit of God doesn't automatically make you faithful. So goodness, God demonstrated goodness towards us. And we need to be a people who demonstrate goodness to those around us. And of course, faithfulness. He demonstrates faithfulness and he commends faithfulness. Remember the parable of the talents? It says, you've been faithful in what is small, I'll put you over more. I'll tell you, don't you want to be around people who are faithful? Who demonstrate some faithfulness? Don't you want to be around people who demonstrate gentleness? They're not all just uptight and arrogant and confrontive, but gentle. Again, James 3 and verse 16 through 18 says, For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion, every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, willing to yield. Willing to yield. Willing to give some. First time I ever drove a car in America, I'm thinking, what in the world does that mean, yield? But just give way, just give a bit of slack. Let's not just be so push. Willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Come on, just show some gentleness. Just show some gentleness towards people around us. You know, it is something which I believe we have to cultivate, because it doesn't always come naturally. You know, some very unchristian sort of people get saved. And God wants to use them. He shed his love towards them. See, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And we come right away down through, and then he ends up with self-control. Oh, hallelujah. Self-control. Self-control. I'll tell you, you know, none of you would ever suffer from lacking self-control. But, you know, I've been around a while, and and when you look in the rearview mirror, you think, if only I just demonstrated some self-control, I wouldn't have dug myself in this hole. I wouldn't have offended that person. I wouldn't have messed up their day or whatever, if I just maintained some self-control. See, a lack of self-control, you know, a lack of self-control, it'll render the fruit powerless. It'll undo a lot of stuff that has just been so helpful and so good. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1 through 2 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. And have any of you ever thought to yourself after saying something, wish you'd not said it? Come on, you don't have to lie in church. You know, you don't have to look spiritual in church, but you know, you say something and you do something and you think, if I just demonstrated some self-control, I wouldn't be in this mess. This person wouldn't have got offended. This wouldn't have happened. This wouldn't have taken place. I wouldn't feel so bad about what I've just done or how I've done this. You could have just done self-control. You know, people struggle from addictions because of a lack of self-control. People will go around upsetting people or just offending people. Why? Because of a lack of self-control. You know, if there's nothing else, I believe, you know, when he puts it on the end here of this list of what is not a list, but it is a group of a cluster of characteristics that, you know, we should be manifesting if we're walking in the Spirit. But it's like self-control. You know, brings them all together, because we can be right in this, and we can do this, and we can do that. But if we just cannot maintain self-control, we can undo a lot of good work. Or we can delay something which could have taken place today. We've got to then start working at it again. And go around the cycle again, because we didn't demonstrate self-control. Bible says, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Bring every thought into captivity. It's like wrestle it down. You know, There are some things, you know, you're thinking, shall I say that? Shall I say that? And you're battling with it, and you want to get it out because you want to have your say. You want to throw your word. You want to have your opinion. You want to get it out there. You want to get it out there, and you're thinking, if I can just do this, it'll make me feel better. Hello? But if you just bring that thought into captivity, you're like, wrestle it down. You attack it. You bring it, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, bringing it in line with the Word of God and what who the Word of God says you are and what Christ has done in you. And you say, one minute I'm saying I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm spiritual. I'm walking in the Spirit. You know, but I want to say this because I know if I say this, it's going to get it off my chest, and I've got to get it on. But if I say it in love, would that be okay? No. Get over that and just bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Bring every thought into captivity, operate in some self-control, you know, swallow your pride, just shut up and be, just walk away, get away from there, you know, do whatever you got to do to demonstrate that self-control. And you've taken maybe 10 or 12 steps forward, but if you hadn't demonstrated self-control, you would have taken 100 steps back. And you'd have to start walking forward. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? Come on, let's be a people. Let's be a people. Let's be a people who demonstrates that we are what we say we are. If we live in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit. Do you live in the Spirit? If we live in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us walk in the Spirit. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that each and every one of us, wherever we are in our journey with you, Father, we are in the Spirit. We are spiritual. Father, we choose, Lord God, I pray, as maybe we just shake ourselves a little bit this morning because, you know, we need a little bit of a shaking. We shake ourselves and say, okay, yeah, I, Lord, I live in the Spirit. I am born again of the Spirit of God. And I'm choosing right now to walk in the Spirit. Yes, I'm walking in the Spirit. I know we're walking in the Spirit. And we're doing everything we can within us. But Father, I pray, Lord God, that if there's areas in our lives where you want to just show us where we can walk in the Spirit, maybe a little more, maybe in a little way where we're demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit. Father, I pray that as we demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, you will bring people into our way, into our path where we can demonstrate and we can lay the fragrance of you on our life and the fruit of that which is falling and having effect and reproducing and producing testimonies that the kingdom of God will advance and expand. Father, we're not living for ourselves, but we're living for the kingdom of God in Jesus' might. Let us stand on our feet this morning and just, Father, I pray. You see, if you're here, I want to give you an opportunity. If I've said something this morning, which you say, I really... I need to respond to that and bring that. Maybe it's just that word that just did something. Just one word caused me to just change a little thinking in my life. And I'm going to just do something a little bit differently. If that's you this morning, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but maybe I don't. No. Just leave that. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but if someone's just good, just to take a step. Just take a step saying, you know, that is, I heard that. And I received it, and I'm going to work on it, and it's going to have an effect on my life. Just come and stand in the front of you and just pray together. Come, we're family this morning. Just pray as we close out this morning, and let's pray together. But maybe you're here this morning, and you say, I can't say that I live in the Spirit because I'm not even born again. I came into church this morning, but I can't put my hand on my heart and say I'm a Christian. Or I've came to church this morning and I can't put my hand on my heart and say I'm really walking in the things of the kingdom of God. I've allowed my faith to just go dry, and I want to see that revived and recommit my life to Christ today. If that's you this morning, I want to take this moment just to commit your life back to Christ and say, I'm making a decision today. I felt a little shaking going on in me. I'm making a decision to reposition my life with Christ. I'm born again. Maybe you're not born again. But I want to put my right life right this morning. Say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I recognize that right now, I need to make a decision. And that's to follow you. To give my life to you. I recognize that you died on a cross for me. Shed your blood for me. Took away my sin. Made me a brand new person. So I receive what you did for me and what you're doing for me. I give my life over to you. I confess with my mouth what I believe in my heart, that God raised him from the dead. And I receive you as Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name. Now fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you.